thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
And
here's John Williams
singing some jingles. Hi, it's John. It's 9:11 now. It's the John Williams Show, weekdays on WGN Radio from 9 to noon. Thanks for joining us. Here all the way for 3 full hours, thinking big thoughts. And an action-packed show planned for you, too. On my show, where I was hosting from 1 to 3, a couple of times we put on a representative from the Secretary of State's office, Dave Drucker, to explain Real ID. We ran that commercial campaign on this radio station. People have a lot of anxiety and questions about it. Do you have your Real ID yet?
I don't.
They are now opening up the Secretary of State's office's extra hours and extra days. I think they were only open 5 or 6 days a week to accommodate people because folks want to get it done. Some of you have shown up, sat for hours, couldn't get it done. Very frustrating. So without answering everybody's questions about this, we have at least thought we'd let you know when and where and how you can maybe more easily do it. He's going to join us at 9:35, so make sure you're listening to this little radio station of ours in about 25 minutes. Dave will pop on with us. Our news click at WGNradio.com, the daily web poll question we post on my Facebook page and on the radio station's page was, did Mayor Lightfoot make the right decision firing Superintendent Eddie Johnson? How do you think that went?
I would think it went 55 yes, 45 no.
Steve Alexander's listening on the business side. What do you think?
I'll go with 60-40, yes.
70-30, yes.
Hmm.
Once again, I'm in the minority.
That's what I was going to say.
You were going to say 70-32.
I was, but you didn't ask, but that's okay.
Hey, no, Mary, what's your thought about this?
I would have gone like 70. Yeah. I think people are supporting her decision.
I guess so. I was misreading the room. Lori's still very popular, but I thought Eddie was as well.
Well, he is.
And I just thought some of that affection for Eddie Johnson would transfer over, especially since I think some of the details about this, which people are focusing on, aren't relevant, aren't fair, and the guy doesn't deserve that. In fact, in his, and you've probably seen it or heard about it, in his note, he said, I am making my first statement as the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. I respect Mayor Lightfoot's decision. When I announced my retirement last month, I stated proudly and accurately that I was leaving the police department with my integrity intact. He said, I know it's still true today. He said, I know in my heart that I have always tried to act in a way that is in the best interest of this great city. And this is the most important thing he said. One thing I want everyone to know is this. I did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor or the people of Chicago. I acknowledge that I made a poor decision and had a lapse of judgment on the night of October 16th. That was a mistake, and I know that. But he doesn't tell us any more about that, maybe because it's none of our beeswax. Reputations are not built in a day. And not damaged in a day either. Reputations are not built in a day, but it seems like we are tarnishing his for one night's activity. They are the result of years of living. We reap what we sow in this world. I will simply rely on the reputation for integrity that I think I have earned during my long career. This is his Tom Cruise speech where he's walking out of the office. It's a fact! These fish have manners! To Mayor Lightfoot and former Mayor Rahm Emanuel, thank you for the faith you showed in my abilities. I look forward to staying active and helping in any way I can. God bless you all, Eddie Johnson. So no more details, but his and I don't know that this is an apology. It's not an apology at all. He said he thinks his reputation will stand. Hey, King John went to the DMV in Morris, says 815. I live in Frankfurt. And I was in and out in 22 minutes to renew my license and make it a real ID, says Judy. Wow, Judy, you're winning. 847, what's going to happen to Eddie Johnson's pension? My understanding is he gets to keep it. 847, I was more upset that he was drinking after having his son give him a transplant. More than a few of you have said something like that. And 312, John, why do you continue to judge this without all of the information the mayor has? I'm just judging it with the information I have. And I don't know that I'm judging. I'm not saying that Eddie was right or wrong, but I am saying that we don't know what Eddie was doing that day, what he was doing that night. We haven't seen the video. We don't know if he was inebriated. We maybe never will, unless the video shows him drinking way too much. Maybe it does. And if that's the case, then I guess I'll back off a little bit. But I still think some of the reporting on this has been either unnecessary or unfair. And if we remember Eddie Johnson, I think we should remember him as a guy that gave over three decades to the city. You don't become a guy from Cabrini Green to the superintendent of Chicago Police without having some talent, intelligence, and integrity. And I don't want to remember this guy for the last bad couple of hours of his career. And today, that's where we are. So I guess that's why I'm personally pushing back. I was walking along. Where was I yesterday? And I have you done this? I was walking along the sidewalk, and I'm watching a car parallel park.
Okay.
And they're backing up. And they're backing up, backing up, backing up. And the spaces in Chicago are not that far. I mean, we've all become very good parallel parkers in this city. And then some not so much. Mm-hmm. If you look at some bumpers, they look speckled, where the paint's chipped off from bam, 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 back and forth. And this guy is, you know, a foot, 9 inches, 6 inches, 2 inches. And I'm just watching going, it's about to go, which wouldn't be the first time or the worst thing that could happen. But he stopped, boop, like inches from the thing, and then wiggled his way in. And I realized in that moment that I need to update my list of the greatest inventions of all time.
Yes, you do.
So I'm taking the plaid thermos off, and now I've got them as such. Number one remains the seedless watermelon. Number two, the backup camera. And number three, of course, is the smartphone. Smartphone is so many things, right? Yeah. I mean, really, we all walk around with a smartphone, taking for granted the flashlight alone on that thing would be worth $100 to me. Anyway, those are my three greatest inventions. I want you to text to me your greatest inventions. For me, seedless watermelon, backup camera, smartphone, three greatest inventions of all time. You want to add to your list?
Well, I would say the automobile in general. You wouldn't have a backup camera if you didn't have a car.
Fair enough. Put that in there.
That would be one. I would say the computer, which I use every day here.
Say it again, Andy.
The computer.
Yeah.
The computer itself. And to me, as the bachelor that I am, not able to cook as well as maybe I should learn how to cook, but the microwave oven.
Oh, that was on my list.
Microwave oven.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because if you say car or phone or computer, it's a lot
obvious.
Of things.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Some smart person I was reading said the jumbo jet. You think all of that stuff way up in the sky with coffee and cocktails for crying and movies. What do you say, Mary?
I went with the microwave, the curling iron. I'm sorry, I have to have my curling iron.
That was not on Steve Cochran's
every
list.
Every day, no. Ibuprofen, very important.
Nice.
If you go with drugs,
sure.
Come on, gotta
sure.
have that for all your ailments. And yeah. The heated steering wheel. That is my favorite thing.
I use
ever.
Mine today, yeah.
I absolutely love the heated steering. Every morning I just, thank you for this heated steering
wheel. I do not have a heated steering wheel.
It's you the
have
best.
The heated, I have a heated seat.
The heated yeah, me seat too. Is good
and
too,
I,
but the
I don't
steering
want to say
wheel?
This, but I've been using my heated seat for a while.
Yeah.
I'm such a wimp. I'm like, bam.
Nice warm buns.
Hit it on three and then wait until my buns get nice and warm and toasty.
Do you ever have it and you don't even realize it's on? And all of a sudden you're like, why am I sweating? But you got to get the steering wheel.
I meant to say this a moment ago. You can make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10, then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 on WGN-TV, 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Let's see what we get today. Greatest invention of all time, says you. Carrie, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say? You are on the air. Hi.
I wanted to say that the pritching crust, I think, is the greatest invention of all time.
Yeah. What's the name of the guy that invented the printing press? This is a famous person.
I don't know.
Oh, shoot. We know the answer to this one. It's somebody or another. Yep. Well done. Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Steve, what did you want to say? Different topic, but we've been talking about this, too. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, listen, I've been listening to all this talk about Eddie Johnson, and I think he was liked by everybody he came in contact with. But the fact that you don't hear much talk about the vehicle he was driving was issued by the city, and God forbid that he would have ran somebody over, hit somebody that night, there'd be a whole different story being told.
Yeah, no kidding. That has come up on a lot of our texts, too, by the way, Steve, that it was a city vehicle changes the equation for people somehow. I never even thought about that. Fair enough. Thanks for the call, Steve.
Sure.
Have a good day.
You're thinking of Johann Gutenberg.
Gutenberg!
Yeah.
Gutenberg!
The printing press.
And not Steve Gutenberg from the
Actually, I was thinking of Steve Gutenberg, movies, which is my mistake.
You seen that guy's beard? Whoa, he's got a beard.
Steve Gutenberg does now?
No, Johan.
Oh, my, I'm having trouble tracking here this morning. Peggy, you're on WGN Radio. Greatest inventions of all time.
Eyeglasses. Without it, I couldn't use the microwave. I couldn't use my phone. I couldn't drive a car. I can't tell you.
You'd have your nose to everything. Yeah. Well put. Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate the call.
Sure.
Have a good day. John, we were at the DMV in Lombard, got our real ID in less than 2 hours. In about 10 minutes, we'll say hello to somebody from the Secretary of State's office, Dave Drucker. He's just going to give you a few details on how to best get that thing, John, the invention of the CPAP machine.
Mm.
John, clear glass and the ATM. ATM sure has changed our lives.
Yes, it has.
We don't think about that. John, one of the greatest inventions for me, your home thermostat controlled by an app on your phone. 773, the Keurig coffee maker. Mary, you'll appreciate this. 847, ibuprofen.
Yeah, there you go.
John, greatest invention of all time, garage door opener with remote. 630, John, all of you people are missing the toilet. No, actually, we're not, but
that's a problem.
Up. John, best inventions are air conditioning and indoor plumbing.
Oh, AC. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Another vote for the toilet, another vote for indoor plumbing. How about that? Thank you for your texts. Thank you for your calls. 312-981-7200. You should know if a random stranger comes up to you and says, hey, how you doing? What do you think the three greatest inventions are of all time? You should know what they are. It's just a measure of your own personal inventory. That's kind of a reflection of you. Andy, you say your three are?
The computer.
Yeah.
And the automobile itself. And, of course, the microwave oven.
Yeah, fair enough. And Mary's three were?
Ibuprofen.
Curling iron.
And the heated steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, take it as personally or as seriously or as large as you like. We're also getting texts about Eddie Johnson, and we will for the rest of our lives. And I'm okay with that. In fact, the Tribune today has a really kind of fun, if I may, story by Josh Knoll. Two or three drinks at Sirius will get anyone in trouble. Chicago Police Superintendent's problems allegedly began at legendary downtown bar. I don't know where this place is. I do now. It's at the Chicago Board of Trade building.
Okay.
And they say it's kind of a landmark drinking hole for Chicagoans. Knoll writes, for peak Chicago intrigue, there's no better backdrop than Sirius Cafe. Though a few years removed from its seediest, smoke-filled day, Sirius Cafe remains a Chicagoan's version of Chicago, where well drinks are filled four fingers high, and the bartender knows what most of his lunch crowd is drinking. Monday, it was revealed that the city inspector general's office had obtained video footage of Johnson drinking for a few hours at the Sirius Cafe. Two or three drinks at Sirius will get anyone in trouble, a trader said who did not want to be identified after finishing his lunch at the bar. Virtually everyone at Sirius Cafe was amenable to chat Tuesday afternoon, but no one wanted to share their name. It's that kind of place. It's also the kind of place where no one got the memo about lunchtime drinking in another era. By 12:30 p.m., virtually every seat in the place was full, and much of the bar nursed one of the four-finger drinks. You want a vodka tonic? You get a glass filled to the brim with vodka, and then a can of tonic on the side to do with as you wish. Vodka tonic.
Uh-huh.
When I order my vodka tonics, they put the tonic in there with a shot or two of vodka. Here you just get a big tumbler of it.
That's like on the airplanes when you want the full can of whatever you're drinking, you don't get it. You get it there.
It's on LaSalle Street, where it dead ends into Jackson Boulevard, one of Chicago's most striking streetscapes, and a regular in the films The Untouchables, Dark Knight, and other movies have shot scenes inside Sirius. I'll have to go watch the movies, or maybe I'll swing by the bar. Sirius general manager, who would only identify himself as Billy. How perfect is that? I'm Billy. What do you want? Would not give his last name, confirmed. You're the manager of a bar. That's no crime. You can give your last name. I mean, for crying out loud. Confirmed that Eddie Johnson visited there the night in question. The man had dinner here. We call last call at 8 o'clock. You can take that for what you want. Everyone's entitled to eat dinner, he said. It's 9:30. Lots of texts about your favorite invention. I'll continue to share them. 312-981-7200, WGN. By the way, after the news, okay, so you want to get that real ID. How, when, and where is it easiest to do? That's coming up. 940 WGN. Good morning. It's John Williams. Dave Drucker from the Secretary of State's office answers a few questions about the best, easiest, most painless way to get your real ID in just a minute. 608 texted in, could you ask Mr. Drucker if the general store in Hooterville is issuing them? John, please ask if I have global entry card, do I need real ID? We've got questions like this. And you know what I'm going to ask producer LF to do? Last time Dave was on, we did a long segment with him answering very specific questions like this. It's a podcast, and then we also printed the questions and the answers. We'll put that back on the top of my Facebook page after noon today. At the end of the show, look for it, and we'll have all of that easy for you to search for, including a number to call if you do not yet have your real ID in the mail. Your best inventions list. We asked you what's your favorite or the best invention of the world. I said it's the backup camera, the seedless watermelon, and the smartphone. 269 texted in. Chainsaws, pretty great. 608 texted in. Number one, baseball. Number two, football. Andy, was that you? Did you run into the other room?
I did.
847, greatest invention, pantyhose, disposable diapers, washing machines, made this woman's life a lot easier. John, greatest invention, the comma. Huh. Greatest invention, 708 says, WGN radio. Thank you for that. John, greatest invention of all time, 815, the radio. How about the clap-on, clap-off switch and the leaf and snow blowers, says Rob. Thanks to the University of Illinois, 309 says, greatest inventions are A, the internet, B, LED lights, and C, aerosol whipped cream. I'll give you one more, although we're getting many. 630, eyeglasses, toothpaste, air conditioning. John the tractor, says another. Think how long it took to plant a field with the mule. Dave Drucker from the Secretary of State's office joins us. Hi, Dave. You're on WGN again. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
Good. I hope you're having a good day.
I am so far. Congratulations on the new time shift.
Yeah, I enjoyed being
wish
here.
You well.
Yeah, it's nice of you to say, Dave. I know you're a listener. By the way, so you guys are doing extra hours or days if folks want to get real ID. You're actually carving out time exclusively for that. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. Beginning the last week of December, on December 30th, with an emphasis here on the Chicago facilities, our big three, Elston Avenue up on the north side, 99th and King Drive out on the south side, and Lexington Avenue on the west side. They'll be operating 6 days a week, those facilities. In Monday hours, we'll begin 7:30 in the morning, and we'll be mainly emphasis on Real ID.
So not all of the Secretary of State's offices are doing this, but those three, Elston, 99th.
Those three in Chicago, but they're expanding the hours in the suburban facilities and the collar counties, too, the facilities, the metropolitan counties closest to Cook. So they'll be expanding as well, expanded on a five-day schedule.
And I suppose the list of who's got the extended hours is at the Secretary of State's office?
Oh, yes. Yeah, our website is very clear. Their facilities are all ADA compliant, and the schedules are very very easy to read. And I would emphasize again for folks when they're thinking about coming in to the DMV to get a real ID to go to our website, realid.ilsos.gov, and do that interactive comparison to make sure you've got the right documents.
Yeah, a couple
if you
of
make
folks.
The decision to get it, the last thing we want is people to not have the right documents and have to go home.
What's that website again? RealID.
RealID.ilsos.gov.
.gov. We'll put this on my Facebook page as well.
By the way, John, I heard very good comments in terms of people reaching out to me about the podcast you did with Eric Zorn and how informative it was and a good exchange of information.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Yeah, well, Eric Zorn's on our Mincing Rascals podcast. We talked about it there, and we've talked about it on the air as well.
Yeah, he did a nice column, too, where he took a lot of the information that we had discussed on your show.
Andy Mazur had a question.
Yeah, Dave, I was just curious, too, because I know in other states that I've lived in, and you've been able to make an appointment at the DMV to kind of have this situation taken care of. I mean, is that a possibility? Is that something you can do?
It's something we're looking at doing. We ran into a problem. We tried doing that when we did the temporary visitor's driver's license, Andy, the license for undocumented workers, people that are here in the country but don't have papers. And we found out there was some manipulation, and that they tended to sell out or finish off real quickly. And we are looking at the possibility of doing that. But as I say, in our previous experience wasn't good.
So far, the answer is no. Dave Drucker's on the phone line. Dave, if you can, give me another minute. I've got just a couple of other basic questions about this. WGN, John Williams, now at a new time, here weekdays from 9 to noon. My Facebook page is WGN King John, where we will put some of the information you're hearing in a previously recorded podcast and in a Q&A section. It's about Real ID. Dave Drucker is on the phone line from the Secretary of State's office, and we asked him to give us just another minute. You still there, Dave?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your time. So Andy asked if I can make an appointment at a Secretary of State's office. You said you've looked into that. Wasn't a great experience. You're looking at it yet again, but right now you just have to show up. You can't make an appointment.
That's correct. All options are open, though, in terms of what we're looking at. We really do want to make it as convenient as possible for people and
so,
reduce the pain as much as possible.
Have you been open on Mondays, or this Monday opening, is that new? That's for Real ID.
This program, those facilities are Monday, well, actually Chicago North and Chicago South are Monday through Friday facilities on the present schedule, and the West Side facility is Tuesday through Saturday. So this will begin December 30th, that last week of this month, and then we kick into the new year.
So starting December 30th at Elston, at 99th, in Lexington, in another location throughout the metro, you will be open in some of these locations 6 days a week. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And starting as early as 7:30 in the morning, and this is to accommodate people who are trying to get Real ID, correct?
Yes.
If you want to know when and where, it's all on their website, realid.ilsos, as in Secretary of State, not SOS, realid.ilsos.gov. Now, you Google it, you'll find them.
Yes, there's another option, is to go to get those locations for the Secretary of State DMVs. If you go to our other website there, cyberdriveillinois.gov.
I've seen that, and I didn't know if that was you guys or not.
Yes.
When that pops up, I can click through with confidence. I'm getting the real deal there, right?
Yes, sir.
And if I have global entry, does that work as Real ID?
Yes, that was one we had to do some research on. That's not something through the Secretary of State, but we did check with Homeland Security, and they said, yes, that will be an acceptable document after October. Well, it is now, but after October 1st of 2020.
And let me see if I got this, because you and I have talked about this before, so I have a casual but dangerous working understanding of this. So come next October, you're supposed to have your Real ID, but you don't have to have Real ID. If you still have a regular driver's license next, say, November, and you want to fly, you still can with a passport, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just a great point to make for the listeners. The fact is that people do have a choice here. And if you have a passport that's issued by the United States government, if you have a military ID, those are Real ID compliant documents. Those will get you on an airplane. Those will get you on a military base or a federal building.
And that was the other point I was going to make. And some of you say, well, fine, but others don't want to carry our passports around. We're afraid we're going to lose them, and that's a nightmare. And you're going to need it not just to fly, but you're going to need it to get into a military base or a federal building. If you've got to go to the courthouse downtown, the federal building, you will need a Real ID or your ID and a passport starting next year.
Yes.
Lots of questions about this, and I hesitate to put them on because there's so many very specific questions. So if you don't know the answer to Veronica's question, I'll forgive you, Dave. But Veronica, what did you need to know? You're on the air, Veronica.
Hi. Yes, I went to the DMV in Lake Zurich a couple weeks ago to renew my driver's license. And on my Social Security card, I have my first name, my maiden name, and my current married name.
Yeah.
And they made me change it to my first name, my middle name given at birth, and my married name. And I was wondering if that was really necessary, because I have my Social Security card is still with my maiden name as my middle name. I have professional licenses in different states that have my maiden name as my middle name. And these generally things have to match up.
This was, again, another standard from the federal government that the documents need to match. We did make a bit of an adjustment early on in this process. They were looking at getting divorce papers, too, just to show the constant name change. We are asking for the marriage certificate now to show the name change.
So it'll be treated differently. The federal government is not the state of Illinois, and not everybody is the same. So if that's the case for her other documents, in fact, she's going to have her birth name for real ID, correct?
Yes.
And if you are divorced, we talked about this and we've posted about this. It'll be on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John, because some of you called in or texted and asked this question. If you're divorced, maybe you've been married multiple times, but even if you've been divorced and remarried once, you need what, Dave? Your most
The marriage papers, for each of the name changes that take place to show.
So we need to be able to trace your name from birth.
So if it was one or if it's
marriage,
five.
Marriage, no. Marriage. You need marriage certificates.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't mean you need papers to demonstrate that you were divorced. But
no, not at all.
But you
not
do need
all.
Papers to demonstrate your name change when you got married. You need
your
marriage certificate.
That's correct.
Ah, what fun. Okay, so we'll continue to have this conversation between now and next October, and then probably next November, too, I'm thinking. But Dave Drucker at the Secretary of State's office, thank you for your time. Again, extended hours. Many of the facilities will be 6 days a week. Some opening at 7:30 in the morning, and you can find out by going to, let me see if I can remember it now, realid.ilsos.gov. I'll put all of this at WGN King John on Facebook. Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome, sir.
That's Dave Drucker at the Secretary of State's office. He's a nice guy. I 100% do not want his job this year.
No way.
No way. Confusing.
I know. It's in a way, it's so simple. I mean, some of you are like, what? You look up the documents, bring them in, get your ID, you're in, you're out. And then for other people, it's a nightmare. And I'm not saying anybody's, your experience is your experience. So I'm not telling you you're wrong. I haven't done it yet, and I don't want to do it.
I'm not doing it. I don't need to do it, because he just said if you have your regular driver's license, you have a passport. I don't travel a lot. So
when's your passport expire?
5 years.
Okay, well then you got a 5-year window.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me to carry my passport if I go on a plane, because I rarely go on planes, maybe 3 times a year. So I'm not getting one,
because
everybody and their mother is getting one now.
It's a crush.
So everybody's panicking, I think. Don't panic, people.
And you've got, and because they ran this commercial campaign.
Yes.
Went, oh my God.
Everybody's like, I gotta get it.
It said next October. It didn't say this October. Most regular people
that have their driver's license and a passport don't need it. So
a friend of mine, his initials are Andy Mazur.
Yes.
He goes in to get his real ID. He goes in to get a new ID. He just got a new ID.
I just got a new driver's license sent to me. Mine expired this year,
yeah,
not
mine
2019.
Came in the mail too.
Mine came in the mail, but it wasn't a real ID. It was a regular ID.
You gotta say, I want the real ID.
Yeah. But you were a safe driver.
It cost you $5 if you'd said, I want the real ID.
I didn't even realize that. I mean, it's come on, make that a little more, put that in big bold print.
Let Andy, it's $30, but if you're in another situation, it's $5. It's not cost prohibitive. It's not like getting a passport.
Right.
But you got to tell them what
you
want.
To charge, yeah. So I can wait 5 years and then the lines won't be as long.
It's 10:08. This is WGN. Hi, John Williams here weekdays from 9 to noon. We just finished the first or last hour, if you will, of what used to be the Steve Cochran Show from 9 to 10. So adios to our friends on CLTV. And we roll here until 12 noon, 9 a.m. to noon on WGN. My Facebook page is WGN King John. I've mentioned that a few times today just because we're going to post a lot of the answers to many of the questions that you all had about Real ID. I'm telling you, we could do this as a segment every single day for the rest of the year and next year, too. 815 texted in and said, John, I work for TSA, and I'm telling you people will show up on October 1st, 2020, and they will not have the right ID. I cannot stress enough, go get it. I don't want to be the guy, I don't want it to be my fault that you can't fly, and that's what it'll be. Boy, I'm not looking forward to that. Yeah.
After all of these questions.
That is so true.
After going through all these questions, reading them, thinking about them, answering them, I just want to use my passport, to be honest.
Just avoid the headache of what is and isn't. And we're probably making it sound more difficult than it is, but we're answering your questions and sharing your experiences. you know, Andy was complaining that he went to get his driver's license renewed, and he did. They sent it to him in the mail. It wasn't real ID. He thought he was going to get real ID. And a couple of you have pointed out, I said to Andy, you have to say, I want real ID when you go. Some of you are getting your IDs renewed right now, and you're not getting real ID because you're not asking that you want the real ID. And a few of you have reminded me that it's not that simple. When you get your real ID, it's not just check this box. You need to bring in documentation as well. Prove your Social Security or your name and stuff like that.
But when you get the thing in the mail to renew your driver's license, it has all the information about real ID in there. So you can make the choice at that point.
Sure.
And that's what I did. I said, I'm just going to renew my driver's license. I don't need to get a real ID right now.
Really? So you opted not to even do that?
Yeah. So I opted right then and there, and I got my driver's license in the mail, and I have my passport, and I think I'm good to go, right?
312. I think so, too. You know, listen, I hesitate to do this because I don't want to be the answer grape on this
right,
stuff
nobody
and
wants
get it
to
wrong.
Claim
I don't want to. I know. In fact, Dave Drucker runs into this from the Secretary of State's office. 312. I missed what he said about global entry card. Is it a valid ID? You can fly with your passport, and global entry will work as a real ID. But remember, that's not a driver's license. So you've got more than one kind of document we're talking about here. John, a lady working at the post office, said you will need real ID to enter a post office or any federal building. Is that true? I know it's true about walking into a federal building. I didn't ask about post offices. Those are federal buildings. I'm not sure how they're going to make sure you've got a real ID to get into a post office.
Wait a minute. I hadn't heard that part.
No, because if you get jury duty, you have to go into a federal building. What are you going
to do? Oh, you will have to have a real ID to get into or be real ID compliant. Your passport maybe will work.
Well, that's the thing, your passport.
But you will not get into a federal building without
the
proper documentation.
Duty. I don't have
I know some of you are saying that going, well, in that case, I'll just say I can't get in.
Yeah, oops, I
this
forgot
is
it.
Less
home.
Incentive. Actually, John, real ID is free. The $5 is the licensing replacement charge that I mentioned. Well, all right. It's either way, you got to have those $5. If you get real ID at renewal time, there's no extra charge. John, you cannot take copies of documents. They have to be the original, said a texter. And Dave said this. He said, we prefer the originals. We will accept copies. That sounds to me like it depends on who you see and where you see them.
And how his day's been going.
Totally. I think this is totally the experience I'm hearing from people because you're getting conflicting information. You've got this network of people across the state and country that are all trying to be compliant. And I do not want their jobs right now. So thanks for all of your texts. I hope we've been somewhat helpful. But remember,
did I hear you say, John, that my Costco card will work?
Yes, a Costco card. You can fly anywhere with
good.
A Costco card.
Thank you.
And a Charlie Corpuscle blood donor card. I also carry a Moral Majority membership card in my wallet at all times, and those will work anywhere. Just trying to be helpful here.
Thanks.
Greatest invention of all time. Steve Alexander watching the business scene for us today. Steve, do you want to play?
Yeah, sure.
What do you
computer,
got?
Computer has to be right up there. Yeah. I'd agree with the toilet. Sure.
Yeah. Computer, toilet, yeah.
And Keurig. I like the Keurig.
John says 312, MyPillow. Hey, I love it when they mention our sponsors. John, greatest invention of all time, deodorant. Probably true. John, indoor plumbing, furnace, and insulin. Water-based paint. Somebody else said eyeglasses. John, smartphone, Slurpees, vaccinations. Maybe not in that order. John, heated seats, energy drinks, Oreo cookies. The DVR. I love that I can pause and rewind TV shows. We so take for granted now that you can record a show, fast forward, go back. That's amazing. GPS, mostly for my wife, though. The mute button says 224. I like this one. 630 says, best inventions of all time. Toilet paper, air freshener, in that order. Antibiotics, said another person. John, you should really qualify your inventions. Not only a terrific one, but ones that everybody can afford. My votes are for Velcro and Post-it notes. Another best invention of all time, the Keurig coffee maker. I'm a little disappointed in those of you saying that. I mean, come on, what are you going to do? Give up insulin for a Keurig? I don't even like the Keurigs.
What's not to like about a Keurig?
It's not a pot of coffee. It's not coffee. It's a facsimile of coffee.
So you make a whole pot at home?
Yes, we do. and then we drink it. It's 10:14. This is WGN.
We don't get fooled again.
I'll explain a little who for you, and I know why. Yesterday was the 40-year anniversary of the disaster at the Who concert in Cincinnati. A few details about that in a minute. But 40 years ago yesterday, you don't remember that, do you, Steve?
Sure I do, yeah.
I was not a fan of the Who. Wasn't paying any attention. Probably in the background, I heard something about this disaster.
I didn't remember that until I read it again this week, that it was 11 people killed, though.
Crushed to death. They died either from being crushed to death or asphyxiation. The crowd so pushed forward to get in that the people couldn't breathe. 11 died, and anywhere from 8 to 30 other people suffered serious injuries.
It changed the way we buy concert tickets.
So it did. And in Cincinnati, in fact, they said for 25 years thereafter, there would be no general admission seating for anything, with some exceptions. The band did not know. They went on stage and performed. They didn't tell them until afterwards what had happened. And so 40 years later, Who is finally returning to Cincinnati.
They've not been back since?
They have not.
Wow.
Fascinating and tragic story. I looked up more about that, and I'll get to more about that in just a minute. By the way, best invention of all time. Steve, I don't know if you've played the game with us. I don't know if you heard. I made a major announcement. I've amended my list. It's now seedless watermelon smartphone and the backup camera. Greatest inventions of all time.
The backup camera on your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I totally didn't need mine until, well, about a year into it.
And then you go, wow, I can't even back up anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to throw anything under the list, something that jumps out at you?
Well, I liked eyeglasses. I think that probably changed a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, for the better. That's for sure. Okay, eyeglasses are on the list.
I'd have to think about
it
more.
It's really boring. I'd appreciate a little more creativity.
Checkers.
Lou, you're on WGN. Lou, what did you want to say?
The invention that really hasn't been done yet is Weed of the Month Club, and I can't remember the other two.
By the way, are you going to partake for medicinal or recreational reasons, Lou?
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, okay, thanks for the call. Bye now. Yesterday, in the 10 o'clock hour, we visited with a guest we've had on in the past, Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm. She's that lady that was talking about getting your student loans paid off in a more efficient manner, like minimizing your payments, eliminating some of the money that you owe. And it has to do with how you apply for your loans and then what you do with your student loans. And it's this myriad of things. You think Real ID is complicated. Fill out a FAFSA form and then hope that you're doing that right and getting the best coverage. And after Ray Kaplan was on our show yesterday talking about this, she got a lot of calls from people. She also saw an article in fact, she just strolled back through our studio. She happens to be in the building and I grabbed her. And by that, I mean, I asked her to come into the show. Was that in the New York Times, Ray?
Yes.
The story that you saw?
Right.
And it was about a young lady who graduated high school early, so a bright, achieving lady in New York, I think it was.
Right.
She's off to college, and she says she can't afford school. Is that correct?
Right. She's an A student and very bright, graduated early, and wants to become a dermatologist, always had skin problems, and is struggling to find ways to pay for tuition. And so the whole article really focuses on how she's struggling to keep up with tuition. And I just thought this really is such a shame because the federal loans and the laws are there that make entirely financing her education from undergrad all the way through medical school because she wants to become a dermatologist completely possible and very painless.
You sent me this text, and I just wanted to read it.
Mm-hmm.
It says, all of this student's education, this young lady, and it could be any of us, really, but as an example, all of this student's education could be funded by Parent Plus loans for undergrad and federal loans for medical school. Then under the law, she will pay 10% of her disposable income for 120 months. So for 10 years, you make a relatively small payment.
Mm-hmm.
After she graduates, if she works for a nonprofit organization. If
right.
she's a medical student, maybe she'll work for Northwestern is a nonprofit hospital.
Exactly.
And the total balance after 10 years.
Even all the interest that's accruing, everything will be wiped out and forgiven. And she would probably, so she would basically wind up paying probably about 25% of what she takes out. And then her mom, they mentioned in the articles on Social Security, I think on disability, she can take out all of these Parent Plus loans to finance everything. I mean, there's no limit as to what she can take out to completely finance this young girl's education. And then when she has to pay back the loans, her payment's going to be $0 a month until the balance is forgiven. So there's, you know, this, it does not work exactly this way for everybody, but for this particular case highlighted by the New York Times, it would work exactly that way. So we're talking about probably $250,000 in federal loans to finance her education from undergrad through medical school. She's a doctor, and then she winds up paying back probably about $50,000.
I wish people knew how this worked, you wrote at the end of your text to me. So takeaway advice is borrow the money in the name of the parent, divorced or still married. It doesn't matter who makes the least amount of money.
Right. Doesn't matter if they're not working. Doesn't matter if they're unemployed on Social Security.
Borrow from the federal government.
Yes.
First and foremost, make it a public loan before a private loan if you at all can.
And you can.
And then if you work in the public sector, so if you're a doctor, but if you're a firefighter, if you're a police officer, if you work for the municipality, if you're a public school teacher.
Right. Nurses.
Then you qualify for this program where you make minimal payments and after 10 years, the balance is forgiven.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I'm out of time. Come back and visit with us again. I know. Do commercials on the radio and I'll mention this once in a while, Ray. She does.
Occasionally.
Her phone number is, her website is Financial Relief. Financialrelief.com or 312-294-8989.
Right.
Nice to see you, Ray.
Thank you.
Thanks
too.
Thanks for swinging through. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that. She was so helpful yesterday, and some of you may not have gotten some of those last words. 1024 on WGN Radio. By the way, Jan, you're on the air. What can we do for you? Hi.
Hi. You know what? I found that so interesting yesterday that I called my son-in-law because my granddaughter is going to go to college after this semester now, and I was trying to tell my daughter that some of the loans could be forgiven, and she said, no, Mom, they're never forgiven. And I said, no, Tommy needs to get on the phone and talk to this lady. Thank you, John, for putting her on the air.
Yeah.
But that's not why I called. I called about this ID thing again. I hate to belabor the point, but my daughter was turned away because, of course, most women have the utilities in their husband's name. I don't know if that was ever addressed.
Right. You're absolutely right.
What do you do for proof of residence? I have cell phone in my name. So did she. I have credit card bills in my name. And so did she. But they turned her away. They were not taking those.
Wow. I don't
know. So what do you do?
Don't ask me.
Well, I didn't know if you ever asked that question.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say that, to be honest with you, because utility bills count if they're in the current address and in your correct name. I'm surprised.
But they're in your husband's name.
Oh, well, then, you know what? Part of the advice was then you need to call them and change the billing so that it reflects your name as well. That's not any fun, but you can do that.
Yeah, but then they send you all these papers, and you have to do a credit check.
No, I know. Jan, I'm sorry. I wish I could be more help. I appreciate your call, though.
Thank you, John. I love you.
I love you. If nothing else, you're a cautionary tale. That must help somebody. Hey, Scott, jump in here. I got a half a minute. You're on WGN. What's up?
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Blessed New Year. Guys, I'm in Milwaukee. Love your show.
Thank you.
The deal is, I was in attendance in Detroit for the Who concert the night after this incomprehensible disaster in Cincinnati. I remember just being stunned. I'm like, what's going to happen tonight? Is there going to be any crazy stuff on stage? Well, they talked about it from the stage. It was an amazing concert. But they're like, you know, they used some of their lyrics to point out how upset they were. And we don't have to fight to prove we're right. So mantras. And they kept on coming back to the tragedy and trying to interweave it with their music that night. But it was a full house the next night in Ann Arbor. And, you know, the place smelled like pot. You know how it used to be.
Well, hold on. Hold on a second. Because I was reading more about this, and you obviously were there the next night. Hold the line. Let's finish this conversation after the news. The news is coming up. Steve, we've asked people today to text to us greatest invention of all time. Since I recently had to amend my list, it now includes the backup camera. The plaid thermos has been knocked off its perch. So for me, it's the smartphone, the seedless watermelon, and the backup camera.
Well, how long was the plaid thermos?
Had a nice run.
Yeah,
had a nice run. It was on the original list. The original list was the internet, the seedless watermelon, and the plaid thermos. I mentioned that to Elif, and she said, what? She didn't even know what a plaid thermos was. We were having sort of a Jimmy Kimmel Billie Eilish moment there in the office the other day, and I realized it was time to update it. So you said, what was it, yours? The computer or something vague and not that interesting? What was yours?
The lice comb.
The what?
The lice comb.
You did not mention that earlier,
no.
But okay,
well,
the lice comb.
It's an evolving list, I'm not
well,
sure.
You get three, the lice comb. Steve, nobody has that on their list, so thank you for that,
and sure.
that contribution, if you will. We mentioned that yesterday was the 40-year anniversary of the WHO disaster in Cincinnati. They are now going to return to Cincinnati for the first time, as I understand it. I was reading up about the disaster. It was just awful. They had the gates or the wall to the arena where they were going to perform and the doors. And they were going to open up the doors, and there was confusion about what time the doors were going to open. The crowd got there early. The WHO does a late sound check. The people outside think, oh, my God, the concert is starting, and they start to crush forward to try and get in. And there are only so many doors, not all of them opened. Some of that subsided, but at the end of the day, it was the mass of people trying to get through too few openings
and then again,
rushing in because they had stadium-style seating.
Well, I was just going to say, back then, you'd have general admission for the floor. So people wanted to get to the front, they would run in or get in line early, and that's just what they don't do anymore.
11 teens and young adults were killed. The band the next day continued their tour. It says here in Buffalo, New York. Scott called in earlier and said he heard him the next day, but in Detroit. I won't fault you for maybe being the day after the next day. You say it was the next day and you were in Detroit. Is that right, Scott?
Yeah, I can't certify it was exactly the next day, but it was right after. It must have been. It couldn't have been more than a couple days. No, that's my recollection. It was right up. It was right up tight to the disaster.
And Pete Townsend now says, "I'm not forgiving us. We should have stayed. They did not stay for the funerals or any of the aftermath in Cincinnati." And it doesn't sound like I don't know if Cincinnati held a grudge about it. I'm not reading that, but it sounds like they're welcoming them back 40 years later. They've announced they're going to return.
You know, their persona on stage was the angry rockers who threw the microphones and destroyed it. And Peter Townsend did the same thing at my show. He broke his guitar and jumped up and down like a maniac, which was entertaining in those days. I'm not sure how much anger they were expressing towards the disaster, which happened a couple of days before.
But they mentioned it, huh?
Yeah, they did mention it. And at the Pontiac Superdome or Silver Dome in those days, it was not general admission. I kind of remember that it was assigned seats, but I do remember being freaked out, kind of really kind of numb, walking through the stairwells, the massive stairwells with a crush of people and walking towards our seats.
I think our approach to things has changed now too. I don't think they would have performed the next night if it happened this
year. Oh, my gosh, no. Especially with social media, they would have known right away.
They even knew when they went to Buffalo or wherever.
Well,
the next
they did.
Night,
they didn't.
I don't think they would hold the concert now. I think they'd suspend it for a while.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And it's kind of a head scratcher that they didn't think that they needed to go back. They, when I had the line that they used when they went back out onto stage the first night, the following show in Buffalo the next night, Roger Daltrey told the crowd, "We lost a lot of family last night. This show is for them." But I'm not sure that would work today. I think Steve's right. Interesting. Well, this seems kind of silly, but a good show anyway, huh, Scott?
Oh, yeah. In those days, I don't remember anything so clearly. Most of the stuff I don't remember clearly at all during those days. It was a lot of, drugs and alcohol for sure, but that one stands out. It was a tremendous show. They were in their prime.
Yeah.
They really were in their prime.
How about that?
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate your phone call. God bless you. Here's the wiki. The families of the victims sued the band the concert promoter, and the city of Cincinnati. The suits were settled in 1983, awarding each of the families of the deceased $150,000. That'd be $377,000 today. And approximately $750,000 was to be divided among the 26 injured. The city of Cincinnati imposed a ban on unassigned seating for the next 25 years, 11 weeks after the concert took place. The television sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati was on the air at that time, aired a special episode showing some of the show's characters attending the concert, learning afterwards of the deaths and their reaction to having helped promote it on that radio station. 11:39 on WGN. So a little history for you there. You know, I was thinking about rock and roll yesterday when I saw the replay of the Billie Eilish, Jimmy Kimmel interview. Did you guys see that? It is so funny. You know how you look at somebody who's younger than you, and I'm talking people that are 17 or 27 or however old you are. If there's a 30 or 40 year gap, you'll say something and they'll go, "What?" And Billie Eilish is this megastar right now. Am I right about that, Elif? 100%?
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, she was one of the top three nominees for Grammys, right? She was along with Lizzo and who was the other one that got
Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X got the most nominations this year, including for Best New Artist. She's 17 years old. She's a fresh-faced, cute girl, dyed funky hair, and has a lot of confidence, charm, charisma when she's sitting next to Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy's like, okay, but you could tell. In fact, he said as much. I can't get over the fact that you're 17 years old. 17 years old, and you're this famous and successful. So then he does the thing that, you know, uncles do at Thanksgiving. He says, well, do you know who Madonna is? Do you know who? And then he starts just cranking out things that would have predated her birth, which, you know, is most of the world, which is 9/11, by the way. And their conversation was pretty funny. We don't have time to play it here, do we? You can Google it. Or do we, Elif? It just runs about a minute, right? Okay, so this is Jimmy Kimmel and Billie Eilish.
You are 17 years old, which is crazy that you're this successful at 17 years old. And of course, I think back to myself at 17, not as successful. But I was 17 in perhaps the greatest year in American history, 1984.
Who was born after that in this room?
You know who Madonna is.
I do know who Madonna is.
You know, can you name a Van Halen?
Who?
No, I'm going to start crying. Have you heard of Cyndi Lauper?
Yes.
Huey Lewis?
No.
Fill in the blank. Run DM?
What?
It sounds like a direct message while you're jogging now, but Run DMC. Yeah, Run DMC, great hip-hop group. Have you ever seen The Cosby Show?
No.
Wow. Have you ever played with a Cabbage Patch Kid?
A Cabbage Patch Kid?
Yeah. In 1984, you'd have to go
like a Sour Patch Kid? That's what I'm thinking.
Same era, really, but in 1984, at Christmas time, your parents
would... Is it a candy?
It was a doll.
Okay.
Would go to the mall and fight other parents for these.
Wow.
And then they bring them home to you, and that was how they proved they loved you.
Wow.
What did Mr. T pity?
What is that question?
So the point that I'm trying to make is you're younger than I am. Yeah.
You're making me look so dumb.
It's not a matter of being dumb. If you ask me questions about 1943, I probably wouldn't know the answers either.
Well... Great.
Mr. T pity? We all knew the answer to that question, right?
The fool.
I pity the fool. And it's so fair, his observation, that doesn't make you dumb. It just means you weren't there. You don't have... Like, you do need to know about Vietnam. You do need to know about the movie The Graduate. I do have some cultural touchstones that I want young people to know about. But you don't have to know I pity the fool. Right? That's a part of your history that you could have missed.
Mood rings?
Pet rocks? I'll bet they have no clue. And the Cabbage Patch doll description is perfect. It's 10:43. Our old pal Todd Stroger wants to say hi. We called him. He's running for office, the former Cook County Board Chair. We'll say hi to him in a couple of minutes. Good morning. This is John Williams. My Facebook handle is WGN King John. Like me there. You can also find me via WGNRadio.com, and then that's our webpage or our Facebook page. But all of that to say, when we were talking Real ID a little while ago, we are posting at the end of the show today a Q&A and a podcast of a couple of conversations we've had with the Secretary of State's office. A lot of questions still coming in. We told you earlier today about extended hours and days for the Secretary of State's office to get your Real ID. No rush, but more information than maybe you have at hand if you like me on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. Greatest invention of all time, 815 says the electric guitar. Greatest invention of all time, 630. How about concrete, steel, and coffee? A lot of conversations on the text line today about Keurig. Some of you love the Keurig. I said I don't like Keurig. 630 says, John, Keurig is garbage. It's like drinking Senka. Yuck. I'm sorry, Keurig, but that's kind of where I am, too. I mean, I'll drink your Keurig, but I'd prefer not to. John, best invention, toilet paper. Couple more. My implanted defibrillator, coffee, and mammograms.
Well, he's so selfish just because of his defibrillator.
I know. Some of you are taking it quite seriously. A woman with breast cancer has a drug that has virtually cured her in Racine, and she says, this is the invention I thank every day. And 847, Rain-X de-icer washer fluid. That's what I mean. What's the greatest invention in the world, according to you? One quick call before we go to our guest, Todd Stroger, and that's Stan on line one. Hey, Stan, what's your greatest invention?
Greatest invention brought to us is the one and only Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. What would we do without him?
Oh, gosh. This is going to reappear, you know, on Lou's show. I'm sure he's going to play
this. That's quite all right. I talk to him as much as I can on weekends when I bump into him or jump on his shows. But here's your time capsule question of what happened in the past, and you can fill it in if you can remember it. Alf likes to eat what?
Oh, no. I remember the show. I was not a fan. Alf likes to eat what? Mary, Steve, anyone? Bueller?
Cats.
Cats?
Oh, I don't remember.
Ding, 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 ding.
Are you serious?
I am so sorry.
Wow.
That I know that.
Thanks for the call, Stan.
I thought it was a plant of some sort.
Bye now. That's nothing to brag about, Steve.
I don't know when I even would have. I think he used to be on in the afternoons. I used to see it or something.
Todd Stroger, I keep saying was the former Cook County Board Chair. It's actually President. I always get the title wrong, but he used to join us quite frequently on our show, and there he is again. Hi, Todd Stroger. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, John?
Let's catch up. What have you been doing since we spoke last?
I do a morning radio on WVON, 1690 AM.
Stop it. Do you really?
I do.
Well, thanks for calling, Todd.
That pretty much wraps it up here. I'm so sorry I asked. Oh, my God. You're the competition.
You start at 9 o'clock. I end at 9 o'clock.
You don't hold public office anymore?
No.
But you're getting back into the game or want to. You want to run for Cook County Water Reclamation District Commissioner or something like that?
Yeah, it's a very long title, but yes, that's, in essence, yes.
Todd, that strikes me as one of those cozy jobs that they have in city and county government that nobody knows, pays a lot of money, nobody even understands, and maybe we don't need. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that if we didn't have it, I don't know if you ever saw the documentary that Ken Burns did on the city of Chicago. In it, he talks about when the Illinois River was burning. Well, that's because of the sanitary conditions that we had, where they were just throwing things in the rivers. The district is very important. It does so much, but you're right, it's not very well known. Most people think it's the water department for the city, but what they really do is they clean up the waste that goes down your sink and your toilets. They also are part of the group that helps to keep the lake clean and fresh, and they work on flooding and water retention. So they do a lot.
Are they in charge of the deep tunnel?
That's exactly right. They created the deep tunnel, and they have a couple of reserves where the water goes now.
But, I mean, the deep tunnel is there, and you have water facilities that clean the water. I mean, the commissioners aren't doing that. So what would a commissioner do? Like, if I was going to say, yeah, I want Todd making these decisions, what kind of decisions would you be making as a commissioner?
Well, it's like when I was a legislator and an alderman, you really, you're voting on how the one point, I can't remember, $1.6 billion is going to be spent. That's probably the biggest thing you do, is you decide how the money is going to be spent, on what projects it's going to be spent, what projects that you're actually going to do during the year.
Yeah.
You make those type of policy decisions.
That commission oversees a billion-plus dollar budget?
Yes. So this is huge. It's, if I remember correctly, more than six plants. This water is, as you know, our most precious thing we have. I mean, you can go without eating for a very long time, but you can't go without water. So no. Fresh water is important to us.
I think fresh water is the petroleum of the next, I don't know, century, decade. I mean, really, fresh water is going to be a commodity that the earth is going to covet more now than it has in the past, maybe more than it does petroleum.
We are in agreement. If you look at some of the third world countries, and you'd see the mortality rate, you could put a lot of that to the lack of clean water.
Or California, Arizona. I mean, just the way the climate is changing, I think if you have fresh water readily available, you have something that the rest of the world, rest of the country wishes that they had. And we've got Lake Michigan, and we've got a network of rivers around here. So let's appreciate that, and let's also keep that clean. Your job would pay, I looked it up, I think it's $70,000. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Todd, you have to know. Do not run for office. Do not seek a job. You do not know what it pays. It's not.
And you know what? Money is not that big an issue with me as it had been in the past.
Ah, okay. Well, so I'm sure it's helpful that, you know.
I like to have money, but.
You know what surprised me, though? So the guy that's in charge, the chairman of this commission, he makes more than the mayor does. The last reporting I saw, he makes.
No, you mean the superintendent.
Okay, there you go.
Which is a difference. It's like being the executive director.
Okay. And I guess it makes sense now if it's a billion-plus dollar operation. But I was shocked to think that this superintendent of something that sounds, you know, like streets and sand to me, makes $280,000 a year.
This is a huge operation. Yeah. I can't remember the exact number of employees, but as I told you, there's six plants. And you know, this is a skilled operation. When you go to those plants, there's plant operators who deal with the water and you know, the acidity and all kind of stuff. So
right, yeah, so you need an expert doing that. Yeah, as opposed to, so those are the engineering, those are the guys that are doing it, and then you're on the commission side that would actually be doing the politics, the funding, the appropriating of the funds to do what those smart people do. I got 30 seconds left. Do you have a platform like Todd Stroger in 2020, clean water, go fight, win, something like that?
I'm going to have to hire you to make one of those. I don't have one of those.
You need
those
buttons, bumper stickers. Nitty. Come on, man.
Oh, my goodness. I hope not. you know, when I go out and talk about myself, I talk about being a person who understands government, is concerned with what is going on with our health, because this is really a health issue.
Yeah.
And it's been my life, and I still have something I want to do. So this is a good thing you can do that would help people that you can find in the county of Cook.
My best to your family. It's nice to hear your voice. We'll follow the election, this among others. But good to talk to you today, Todd.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
So long now. Todd Stroger. 11:09 now, WGN. Good morning. John Williams here, weekdays from 9 to noon on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. 847 texted in. We started the show today chatting a little bit about the greatest inventions of all time in your life. What would you put in your top three? My list is the seedless watermelon, the smartphone, and now the backup camera on your car. I mean, good grief. 847 said the best invention ever is the depth finder when you're fishing. If you're an angler, I suppose that's really something. They also have the radar that shows where the fish are, or the sonar, which the anglers I know don't seem to think is cheating. They're cool with that, but it seems to me like part of the hunt is not knowing where the fish are, but thinking you do, and then you drop your line in, and then they bite, and then you catch a fish. But if you've got a depth finder and radar to show where they are, and the right kind of lures, well, that's not fishing, that's just finding. John, the remote car starter rocks. John, the greatest invention of all time is the telephone. Absolutely. It still amazes me to this day that I can talk to someone 5,000 miles away. I would add to that, though, that the way you can video chat with people these days on your phone, I mean, not only was that impossible 40 years ago, it was fantastically expensive if there was something like that a few years ago. And now Skype or all the ways that you can just FaceTime people is amazing. I mean, really, if you were over the age of five, you have to marvel at how easy and affordable that is, right? You need the device and you need an internet connection. Oh, but
call me on Sunday, honey, when the rates, the long-distance rates are lower.
I don't want to sound like a boomer again, but I'm just telling you that for most of humanity until about 10 minutes ago, they budgeted the time they were going to make a voice call because it was prohibitively expensive. And now I've got friends and their sons and daughters are in Europe or in Australia or New Zealand, and they're either studying or working or whatever. And they just, the only thing you schedule is, will they make the time for you? So you say, hey, we're going to Skype you Sunday night or whatever. But you could do it 24/7 on the other side of the world.
And when you have grandkids, FaceTime is the best. Because they live, you know, in Madison, so I can't, you know, see them very often. So
I've wondered about that, FaceTime. Mary. Is that satisfying?
It is in a way. You just want to hug them, though.
Yeah.
It's so cute when they, like, reach for you. They blow you kisses. And you're like, oh, I wish I could feel that.
I'm getting in the car right now. Yeah, I'm coming up there.
I'll be there in, you know, 2 hours.
Definitely not the same as being in the same room as that person. Because people always say, well, at least we have Skype. At least we have FaceTime. But it's never enough.
Yeah, I wonder if it just makes it worse. If it just accentuates the fact that I'm not there. Especially if it's a romantic relationship where you really want to touch that person. John, greatest invention of all time, pre-lit Christmas tree. Think about how that's changed some people's world.
Can I just say that I, for years, was the last holdout in my family, and I would force my children to go to the tree lot with me and pick a tree.
Yes, Clark.
Years after they never wanted to do it. And then, like 2 years ago, we bought a pre-lit Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Best thing ever.
We're not there yet, Steve, but I'm getting real close.
The tree was up in 2 minutes.
Real close.
Well, first you have to cross the permanent tree divide, because a pre-lit tree is obviously not a real tree. It's a pre-lit permanent, so an artificial tree. I say permanent because for a while I was in the artificial tree selling business. I was a salesman on the floor of a Christmas store, and we were told not to call them artificial trees. They're permanent trees. Think about that. But then, yeah, and then the pre-lit one, that was a game changer. You know how expensive those things are? Like, what was it? Monday, when everybody was shopping online, I saw the prices come down on a 9-foot pre-lit tree, and it was on sale for $900.
What?
I mean, I blanched
it. Where were you looking?
$90 on Amazon or someplace. I mean, it was a good one, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the tall trees pre-lit are not inexpensive.
Yeah, you can get them a lot cheaper. But now there's a 15% tax on Christmas trees. Did you hear that?
No. Why are this? Is this China? Is this the
morning.
China thing?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm like, what? Now we have to pay a tax on a Christmas tree?
Ella,
that's a real
that
one. That's a real one.
On real Christmas trees?
I believe
trees,
I heard that this morning.
A 15%
tax. On a business
tax.
Show. I should ask Steve Grzanich. She's right in the newsroom.
Producer Elif is Googling even as we speak. John, I've never been a fan of the backup camera. To me, it's disorienting. It's not clear. I never use it. John, the greatest invention is the wheel. Yeah, I'll give you that. John, if you find the fish, you make them bite. Even if you find the fish, you can't make them bite. Yep, that's true too. Take a break. Come back. afterwards, I want to do two things before we get done with the show today. One is, there's a just delightful story in the Tribune today about the store yesterday by Wrigley Field. It's this bizarre little leaning shop that must be worth millions of dollars, given the real estate. And the guy would sell old comic books and baseball cards and memorabilia. He's passed away. The obit by Christopher Borelli is just charming. And one of the owners, is it a colleague or family members, is going to join
it's
us.
His nephew.
After the news, to tell us a little bit about that man and that place. Oh, and when we were yesterday talking about electric cars, we got a few things right and a few things wrong. I'll settle some scores. Happy holidays from your friends at Executive Green Carpet Clean. It's 11:18. This is, excuse me, WGN. if I stop reading them, maybe you'll stop sending them. Best inventions of all time. John, the best invention is the technology called coiling and clipping, developed to repair brain aneurysms. I had two 15 years ago and have no cognitive or physical defects. John, the greatest invention of all time, rubber bands, super glue, duct tape, no questions asked. And about that commercial that Steve Alexander was talking about, doing the business report, the Peloton commercial. I'm telling you, there's no controversy about this commercial. A couple of people on the internet said they didn't like it. A controversial commercial is one that gets something really incorrect, politically incorrect, about race, ethnicity, gender. I mean, those are the giant gaffes that commercials make sometimes, right? They'll say something about blacks or women or a certain race or something like that. And people go, holy cow, what are you saying? We don't talk like that anymore. That's a controversial commercial. The Peloton commercial is not controversial. I mean, it's a commercial for this stationary bicycle. And the lady's lovely, and her husband got her one, I think, for Christmas. 847, John, I didn't get the uproar over the Peloton commercial. Fit people work out. I don't think it was the husband telling the wife, hey, you need to lose some weight. that's the way I saw it, too, for what it's worth. Yesterday, we were talking about electric cars. I noticed that they've got the good spots up front next to the handicap spots at the Jewel that I go to, and that it's free. And I was just marveling at that because I just fell from the sky and I didn't know these things. So we had this ongoing conversation with you about your electric car experiences and what you can do and what you can't. And one woman called in, and she's from Chicago, but she's got family or friends out east, and she's got family or friends in Colorado, and she said she can drive almost across the country without even paying a charge. She just goes to the different stations every 200-300 miles, and she gets a free charge up at places, and she keeps going. Somebody sent in a text to Steve Bertrand and I, and they said they were a little frustrated because we got a few things wrong. This from a person who owns a couple of electric cars.
This is the one I sent you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, what were you cackling about over there?
Well, you just didn't include me at all until we start getting corrected, and I just was happy to be back with you here.
It was my conversation until things went sour, and then it was Steve Bertrand and I. Funny how that worked out. Number one says, somebody who didn't give his name, but I traded email with, and he seemed to know what he was talking about. John, from fully empty to fully recharged, it's $1.50 for my Nissan Leaf. Wow. What's that, a third of a gallon of gas? Half a gallon for my Nissan Leaf. It takes 4 hours on a public charge, 2.5 hours in the higher voltage one I have in my garage. Number two, Teslas have the supercharger network, but it's only available to Tesla cars. This allows Teslas to drive cross-country for free. That's amazing. That's amazing. Tesla's range goes from 200 miles on up. This is not what John saw at the Jewel, where he saw two level two spots. These superchargers can be found at the outskirts of most Myers. It's why non-Tesla owners are aggravated that the Teslas, who don't need the public charge because they have such high mileage range and their own infrastructure, hog the spots that John saw at the Jewel. So you can park your Tesla there. It's an electric car. You don't even need the charge. You can't even use that charge, but you've got the best parking spot in the joint. You've got an electric car. The Teslas use their own system. The part of the spots being near the store. Somebody said that they put those spots near the store so that you can run out once your car's charged and move it. A kind of courtesy that I also marveled at yesterday because I don't know that we're all that courteous.
Yeah, I was going to ask her really about that, but she certainly did it.
Say that again?
She seemed to do it.
Yeah, that was she did, or at least she was referring to the theory. John, it's expensive to run electricity, so the stations are put close to the buildings where the electricity is located. That's all. Most of the stations are put in with grant money, so it's really only the electricity that the store is subsidizing. Trust me, I have spent thousands at Apt in return for a few dollars of charging I've received. Yeah, some of you have told us that Apt has free charging stations. And finally, not all electric cars are Teslas, nor are all EV owners rich. We have a Nissan Leaf that we paid $18,000 for after tax credits. Our Leaf goes 80 miles on a charge. And not all of those charging stations you see are there for free. There are some that are free, but the ones at Walgreens actually cost more than the cost of gas. Now, that's why I only charge at home unless I have to. The discounted license plates for electric vehicles ended, so actually I'm paying more to cover the road tax per use for my electric vehicle than I am for my Honda Pilot. It's really not a fair tax for a car like mine that tops out at 80 miles per day, as I never drive so many miles. I don't get as much usage of the roads as a Tesla or an ICE vehicle. Okay, thanks for all that. Bill, you're on WGN. Hey, Bill, what's up? Hi, Bill. Pardon me. Bill, you should be there. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Good. What I do, like at Rosemont or McCormick, because they give those cars front row parking also, yeah. I drive a Volkswagen Jetta that's non-electric. I take the cord off, I open the trunk, I throw it in the trunk, I close the lid on it, and I go inside. Thank you. I tell them, thank you for front row. They can't move it, because they'll tear the cord right
you
off.
You don't do that.
Oh, yes, I do.
Wait a minute. You have an internal combustion engine. You take the cord out for the electric car, you put it in your trunk?
I just did, and I slammed the lid on it. So it's still connected, but it's in my car. They can't move my car.
You know, people like you make people like me behave like...
Nobody uses them. Nobody uses them. They're always open.
That is true. That is true. That's amazing.
No.
Well, Bill, thank you for the call. Thank you for that advice. You're going to hell, you know, but that's an interesting thing you said.
All right, I'll see you there, Jeff.
Do you guys have a time?
Wow.
Oh.
That's I want to say clever what the guy's doing, but come on. Really? Unless, if you're handicapped, you get a handicapped spot. If you're not handicapped, you can't want a front parking spot that badly that you're going to do that. Do yourself a favor and walk from some distant spot, for crying out loud. All right,
let's face it, though. People have said that to him before. Otherwise, he wouldn't be ready with that response.
Oh, going to hell? I don't mind that. I'm more insulted by the fact that he's pulling off those kind of shenanigans. I'm watching CNN today. It says breaking news, because that's what they always say. Constitutional expert Turley, no clear criminal act, but high crimes and misdemeanors can. And now it's just refreshed. One of the headlines today is this law professor who's been testifying at the next round of the impeachment hearings has a fiery rebuke. She says, I'm insulted by what you're saying. I guess some of the Republicans on the committee are questioning how diligently some of these people testifying have actually looked at some of the documents or something like that. Do we have that audio?
Mr. Collins, I would like to say to you, sir, that I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. But everything I read on those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this a republic to which we pledge allegiance.
Judiciary hearings continue today. You're just hearing about them. They're underway now. And I'm just looking again at Christopher Borelli's story in the Tribune. It's an obituary for Tom Boyle. And Borelli wrote, Tom Boyle, died Monday at 88 after a long illness. He liked to tell people that he ran a home for abandoned children. He thought of yesterday, his tiny, slightly lopsided collectible shop in Wrigleyville, as foster care for a century of disposable print media and antique flotsam. He was less interested in landing a sale than finding the right home for his wayward odds and ends. He sold old TV guides and Cubs autographs, yellowing newspapers and dog-eared baseball cards, film posters, and promotional headshots of movie stars long gone, political buttons, and John Belushi posters, and Michael Jordan memorabilia. And he sold it out of a dusty yellow shack a block west of Wrigley Field. I live two blocks east of Wrigley Field. I go by this place all the time. It's on my way to my CD1 Price Cleaners. And I have always wanted to go in, and I never have. But in an area where buildings are getting torn down and then put back up for millions of dollars, what did the Taco Bell by Wrigley Field go for? I think the real estate there was $9 million. And about eight doors down from there is this yellow, and he's absolutely right, lopsided building. It's leaning, and it sells, I don't know what kind of sales they ever would do there. And it is leaning, and I've always thought, I don't know what you're making for the sales of your baseball cards, but I'll bet you could turn this into a, you know, another Ricketts empire and make millions of dollars. The man's passed away. Borelli writes, somehow, perhaps by nature, it never looked new, but squat, ramshackle, and increasingly out of place. The building, first a barbershop, then a TV repair shop, stood on Addison since the 1880s, pocket-sized. Yet impossible to miss in a Wrigleyville that's been gentrifying for ages, surrounded by cavernous bars and high-rise condos, pricey hotels, hipster bowling. The hipster bowling, by the way, is just down the street on the other side of Clark. Yesterday came to resemble the small, vulnerable home in the Pixar movie, Up, beset on all sides by money and change, anchored by Boyle himself, who waited almost daily for customers on a stool behind the counter. Boyle had heart problems, chronic asthma, knee issues. He died of a heart attack. You know yesterday. You've passed yesterday. It's on the way to Wrigley Field on Addison. Borelli wrote, on slow days, he wished that he had a dollar for every person who promised that they would stop by. So we'd sit, crowds would walk past on the way to the park. Some would knock on the window and Tom could get discouraged, but he was fundamentally a positive person. So I'd say, Tom, even if they stop, this is his nephew speaking, even if they stop, it doesn't mean they buy. I mean, when he started, Wrigleyville was a place to avoid for lots of people. It wasn't seen as a great neighborhood. And the funny thing is, I wonder now if yesterday is the last place there with any charm. It is the last place there with any charm. Again, I live in that area, and I've watched what's happened, and I approve of 94% of it. But there's nothing charming about that area in Wrigleyville anymore. Some do stop. Famous people stop. Jimmy Kimmel sometimes shops there. Eddie Vedder's a regular. And not long after opening, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, taking a break from a Star Wars press junket, stopped in. There's a blurry photo of Tom standing alongside the young cast. Yesterday is still open. It will likely close for good next July, if not sooner. Boyle owned the building and the game day parking lot behind it. And for several years, what Boyle had earned from parking was primarily supporting the store called yesterday. They quote in this story Max Zelenka, who is his great nephew, and he's on line 7. Hey, Max, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Your great uncle, huh? Sounded like a great guy.
Oh, he was a wonderful guy. Very positive and upbeat.
And did you work in the shop? You must have spent some time in the shop, huh?
I spent some time in the shop. I work for an HVAC wholesaler, so I'm not. It's not my field of expertise.
Yeah, and then you know when I would walk by there, and I regret now. I'm going to go in there. I guess the store is still open. I won't get to meet him,
yes.
But I want to make a pilgrimage to this place because it's just so Chicago, so old school, so Wrigleyville. And if it's a reflection of this interesting fellow, then I want to stick my head in there. But I was wondering, did you guys, did he have many sales? Did much money exchange hands in that shop?
You know, it varied day by day. Some days would be zero. Some days would be a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on how many people came in, the weather, that type of thing.
But I guess he didn't have to sell in order to support the business because the receipts from the parking lot probably paid him and the rent, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, it helped that he owned the building.
Yeah.
In the earlier days, it made much more. It fit the neighborhood better in the older days.
And I wonder, too, if baseball cards, comic books, you know, collectible posters. In this digital era, I wonder if the market for that is kind of soft anyway, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot of younger people like that type of stuff or come in for that type of stuff. It's mostly like middle-aged to older people.
But also, Max, when I would go by, I would think, this guy's sitting on a gold mine, right? He owns the building or owned the building, right?
Yes.
So, and he has no, he wasn't married and he doesn't have any sons or daughters, correct?
Right.
So, presumably, some of that's going to pass to you or other family members. Do you guys know what that real estate is worth?
Not really. He never had an interest in selling because he just loved the store and loved the whole, you know, art of collecting and meeting people and selling.
Yeah. Right, if he takes the money and they put up another condo or something there, then he's not sitting there talking to the people about the stuff that he was talking to him about, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, was he a chatty fellow? It said in the newspaper article, I didn't read this, but he was bright. He went to Northwestern. He started a student newspaper in high school. He dabbled in a little bit of acting. So he had a good brain in him, huh?
Oh, he was a sharp as a tack even to the end. And could remember things from 60 years ago clearly, and just knew a lot of history and information from over the years. A lot about movies, too.
Yeah, was that his area of interest? Was it sports? Was it comic books? What was his sweet spot?
His big interest was like the golden age of comic books and sports.
Sports?
Mainly baseball.
So if I asked him who was the shortstop for the Giants in 19-something or another, he might know something like that?
Yeah, he could probably name you most of the clubs who's ever played, that type of thing.
Can you tell me what are some of the things in the store? I mean, I mentioned some of the inventory, but just think for a minute. If I walked in there today, what do I find in his shop, Max?
Well, you can find movie posters, Life magazines, Playboy magazines, comic books, baseball cards from all eras, going back to the 1900s to modern day tops. And this is an assortment of memorabilia for movies, old and young.
Yeah. You know, when I'd go by there, I think, why doesn't he clean it up? Why doesn't he, the signs in the window were like magic marker on poster board, you know? It was so DIY, which is fine. I mean, that was part of its charm, but I thought, hey, if you really want to move some units, fella, put some newer or brighter stuff in the window or something like that. Did you guys ever talk to him about his marketing, if you will?
Not really. He liked doing what he had been doing for as long as he had been doing it. So it was not much to it. He didn't think there was much to change.
He was happy with the way it was going, huh?
Yes.
Was he a chatty fella? Can you tell me just a little more?
He loved people coming in and talking to them. He loved quizzing them on history questions, finding out about where they're from or what their interests are.
Yeah. Boyle leaves a sister, Teresa O'Brien. The end of the obituary reads, along with several nieces and nephews, that would be you. Funeral services will be held Saturday, December 7th from 3 to 9 at the Colonial Wojciechowski Funeral Home on North Milwaukee. The other night, Linda Vasquez, manager at nearby Wrigleyville Sports, was walking by yesterday, your great uncle's shop. She noticed Boyle through the window, waiting on his stool at his counter for a customer. Quote, I've thought of going in and never have. I should have. It's just one of those things, says Linda Vasquez. And I think that's just been the experience for a lot of us. We I wasn't sure if the shop was going to be open when I went by or what I'd find inside. And it referenced that maybe the store is going to close this summer. Do you know about the plans for it?
Well, we're going to keep it open as long as possible. All of our licensing goes until July. So we're going to be at least open until July is the plan.
I see. And then if you guys, and you might sell it, right?
We might.
Yeah, I'm not,
I try to keep it open, too.
I'm not encouraging you to do anything. You all do whatever you want to do. Honor him, honor yourself, I mean, whatever. But I'm telling you, dude, you know what I'm thinking. People that go by that think, guys, there are millions of dollars under that leaning store if you are interested. I won't fault you if you guys decide to take the money.
Yeah, but it's always been more about the history and the collectibles and that experience and trying to keep that alive.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you. My best to the family. I suppose this is a bittersweet time for you. He was in ill health, yeah. It sounds like, but he had a good run, and he sure is part of that Chicagoland area. It's nice to talk to you, Max.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You do too. Max is Zelenka. 11:47 on WGN. John Williams here. By the way, I see that they've had a changing of the guard in traffic, so there's Lauren Lapka getting ready for her shift. Mary Vandevelle out. Lauren, I'm asking everybody, greatest inventions of all time. You can do three, but you don't have to do them all. Steve Bertrand had something like the computer and the lice comb.
The lice comb.
Think about that. If your kids have lice and somebody invented a fine-tooth comb to get them, that's a very happy thing for you.
That's true.
It doesn't have to be that. A lot of people love the Keurig. A lot of people like their iPhones or the camera phone. What's greatest invention of all time for you?
Ooh, just off the top of my head, I'd probably think of better ones, but air conditioning.
No, that's huge.
Things like ibuprofen, just your basic pain relievers.
That's on our list. That was on Mary's list, too.
And super comfortable blankets, like the really like woolly but soft ones.
Greatest inventions of all time. Not bad. Not bad. What else was I going to mention here? Thanks again to Max for coming on just a minute ago. Zelenka, the great nephew of Tom Boyle, who's yesterday's shop on Addison. He passed away at the age of 88 on Monday. And the store, I have not been in there. I don't suppose you have, huh? It's just a delightful little, and it literally is leaning, the store is. And it's such a throwback. And I'm guaranteeing you that once this thing goes, there's nothing like that going to appear in that neighborhood anytime soon. And I don't remember now. Maybe, Elle, if you can look that up. What was the value of the land under the Taco Bell that they bulldozed? There's nothing there yet, but it's going to be something. And I remember that Taco Bell sold for like, I want to say $7 or $9 million. The Taco Bell had a bigger footprint than yesterday, the store that this guy was running. But I'll bet you it's a lot.
Don't you wonder about the zoning, too, for that guy's store? Because it's kind of in the middle of the block.
Yeah, it's all residential there. You know, it's a funny area because you've got bars and shops scattered all about. But on that street, after the Taco Bell, going west on Addison, it's all residential until you get down maybe to a pizza joint and stuff like that. I wonder if anybody would be able to put up a shop like that anymore. And you wouldn't anyway. You couldn't make the rent. It's just, it doesn't generate enough money. I wonder that about a lot of shops that I see throughout Chicago, right? People who are running a little mom and pop bar or dry cleaners or whatever it is. And if you don't see a lot of business in there, you just think, how do you people do it? God bless you, because it's great to have you in the neighborhood, but I don't know how they do it.
It sold for $8.9 million.
That's what I'm talking about. The Taco Bell, right? I remembered it was seven, yeah, or nine. What was it, Elif?
Nine. 8.9.
So eight doors down from this store, somebody sold their land and they got $9 million for it. And this guy is selling comic books in his shop because the nephew said that was his passion. That's what he liked to do. He wanted to sit there and talk to people. You get to do whatever you want. But that's hard to resist, isn't it? A lot of lists are out this time of year, the best of the decade or the best of the year, TV shows, movies, books, etc. I've been noticing the best books of the year lists, and some of them have Bill Bryson's The Body on there. I carry it around like a Bible. Elif and I were on the same L train today. We were both on the same Red Line car today. And as I was standing there reading my book, The Body, she takes a picture of me, and she says, first she says, because this is what I think you're supposed to do, is it okay if I photograph you for social media? People all around us looking at us, and she just chimes in and says, can you do that? And I said, sure, I don't care. And so she takes my picture. Then she puts some caption next to it. And I don't know what Elif's plan has been to do with the picture of me reading this book while I'm standing on the train.
Well, the point was that, because remember when you said that you called it an Encyclopedia Britannica?
It's a thick book.
Yeah. So then when I saw you open it up and start reading it, I was like, he really does stand with one hand on the bar and one hand holding this 5,000-page book.
I know, and my hand starts to fatigue, too. And so then, to turn the page sometimes, I have to release my hand from the rail on the L car, because I'm holding it with one hand, and then with the other hand, I change the page. But in that moment, I'm vulnerable, because if the thing jostles too much, I'll go flying. But I can't get my nose out of this book. I'm about halfway through. I'm more than halfway through it now. Okay, I'll read to you from it. So on page 194, he talks about our respiratory system. It's one of the best books of the year. It's called The Body. Bill Bryson writes about our bodies and how they work and how fascinating and intricate they are. Talk about taking stuff for granted. Actually, on this part, he's talking about equilibrium and how you and I are able to balance and how sometimes that's thrown out of whack. He says, because of our frailties, this doesn't even sound like it has much to do with that, but here it is. Because of our frailties, much of our planet is off limits to us. Earth may feel like a generally benign and kindly place for us to live, but a very large portion of it is too cold or too hot or too arid or lofty for us to live successfully on it. Even with the advantage of clothing, shelter, and boundless ingenuity, humans can manage to live on only about 12% of Earth's land and just 4% of the total surface area if you include the seas. It is a sobering thought that 96% of the planet is off limits to us. All 7 billion of us are living on 4% of the planet's surface and 12% of the land. And then he talks about some of the problems, like if you live up high in the mountains. Around 40% of people experience altitude sickness above 13,000 feet. And it is impossible to predict who the victims will be because it is not related to fitness. We were in Colorado this summer, and some of us really felt it, some of us didn't. It's just luck. It's just random. In fact, families and towns that are located in the mountains, some of the people will grow up there and realize that they have an illness due to the air being so thin, and they can't live with their family in the village. They have to move down. Forget about getting acclimated. Some people just cannot adapt to that elevation. For reasons of economy, he writes, airlines normally keep the cabins pressured to an altitude equivalent of 4,900 to 7,900 feet. It's why alcohol is more likely to go to your head while flying. I thought that was a myth. I thought we just said, oh, you know, when I drink on an airplane, I get a buzz quicker. But you do, because it's like you're in the mountains. It also accounts for why your ears pop during descent, because the pressure changes as you reduce your elevation. On an airliner flying at normal cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, if the cabin suddenly becomes depressurized, passengers and crew can become confused and incompetent in as little as 8 or 10 seconds. They noted the case of the pilot who passed out because he paused to put on his eyeglasses before his oxygen mask and passed out. The co-pilot was not so incapacitated and took control of the plane. And then they talk about the famous case of Payne Stewart, the golfer, who in 1999 in his Learjet, the plane evidently suddenly lost pressure. They were flying from Florida to Dallas, Texas. They didn't make the left turn. They went up towards the Dakotas until it ran out of gas. Everybody had passed out and maybe died en route. They certainly died in this plane. All six aboard were killed. Just a strange set of little facts and anecdotes about the equilibrium and pressure that human beings experience. So it's like, who writes about that? Bill Bryson does in this book. And it just goes on and on and on like that. All of the systems, all of the parts of the human being. And once you get your nose in it, you will not be able to take it out, if you're into that sort of thing. I am. And Elif is going to post a picture, I guess, on... Where are you going to put that? On Instagram, Elif? Is that where the picture of me reading the book on the L is going to go?
It's called Instagram for a reason. It's already there. But it's also going to go on your Twitter.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I can live with that. And I'm not pronouncing it incorrectly, am I? Instagram is correct, is it not?
Oh, sorry. Like Instapot?
Yeah, right.
Same thing.
Thank you.